Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs and kai. Hi, I'm Ronnie Karam, and I'm with my partner, my work partner, friend partner, my thin partner, beautifully coiffed, Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Did you mean to be such a good partner?
Did you mean to excel at podcasting?
Hi, Ben. Welcome to Monday, honey.
Hi. Yes, thank you. And, you know, that Padma voice is a good reminder that if you are looking for our Top Chef recap from this previous Thursday, it's on the Patreon bonus where we're talking about essential workers. So go check that out if you're into it. Patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Yeah.
It's fun times.
That's fun times. Also, we recorded a special episode with the Ladies of Morbid today, and that will be out later this week. We're not even sure when. Okay.
We don't know what.
Tomorrow?
You haven't gotten that far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we love them. So we wanted to do an extra episode with them because I said yes. We were like, okay, let's do it. It's pretty fun. We talk about Kim Richards, the Hilton life in general. Kim Richards, one of her husbands was murdered while she was on the phone with him, which is pretty dark. Or morbid, if you will. And we wanted to celebrate Real Housewives of Beverly Hills comeback in the darkest way possible. So there you go. Just check your feeds for
that. That's how we did it. Yep.
But today, even darker, The Shaws of Sunset has returned to Bravo. Now, we weren't sure how this was going to work because last season really was just vile by the end. I mean, it had gotten so toxic. You had Reza screaming, "You've had 10 abortions and your uterus is broken, bitch." And Tommy going over there and destroying Reza's outside planters area and then going to jail over it. And it just got real, real, real ugly last year.
Yeah, I thought it was a great season, to be honest. I thought it was their best season in a few years. They had kind of had a rut before then that was pretty dull. And last season was good. I liked it. Even though it was dark, it felt very real and visceral. So, but it did leave me wondering, especially after their reunion, how are these people even going to film? Well, one can never underestimate this cast. I will say this cast, they do know that when it's time to move forward and put on a show, they will do it. They will do it. So the season premiere opens up with Mike. It's sort of like a storybook thing. They have a book that opens up, and Mike is like, "Last you heard from us, things were not so great." And it goes, "Once upon a time," which was great because as I was just telling Ronnie before we started recording, I've been really into the woods this weekend. I've been like listening to the cast recordings and I watched the musical. So this was kind of like a really lovely take on Into the Woods, like a lovely, sad, depressing version of Into the Woods, which is already actually pretty sad and depressing. So well done.
It's basically all in Act Two, right? Because Act One is the fairy tales. So you see all the happy endings and Cinderella getting her man and everybody's happy. And Shaws of Sunset is all basically in Act Two, where you see that the fairy tale is horrible and dark and depressing as fuck. Okay. So we're in the storybook, and the first page is MJ. "You're a disgusting person. Go back to cheating on your husband. Go back to your cheating husband." And throwing a drink in Reza's face. And it all started over some rumors that Adam was playing naked Jenga with a really short queen in a fez hat.
And then we see all like Ali Ashuri and Reza throwing water in his face, and Gigi saying, "And who started these rumors? I'll tell you. Maris, did you tell Ali Ashuri Adam was sexually harassing people?"
And so
it was a crazy season.
Yeah, and so began a war. "Your uterus exploded because you had 10 abortions.
And you know what? That's all I did was break some planters. I should have broke his fucking legs. He's lucky. He's fucking lucky."
The damage spread from Reza and MJ to the entire group. And the war raged on. And now we're a house divided. I'm like, okay, this is not Game of Thrones here. Okay. These are petty people having fights and destroying pottery. That's all this is right now.
Okay, now, when I was probably 21 or so, 22, I lost so much weight. I was, like, skinny. I think it was maybe one of the first times in my life that I was ever actually skinny. And do you know what I did? Did I celebrate? of course. Was I happy? Yes. But the biggest dramatic thing I did, I wore jorts. Really short jorts. Why? I don't know. No one told me. Ronnie, why are you wearing short shorts made out of jeans? Okay. My point is telling you guys, I hope you're healthy and happy. It's no excuse to go wear skinny jorts. Okay. No. And Reza, I'm talking to you. Because seeing what Reza does in this episode, you know Reza's that person who loses 10 pounds and suddenly he's in a tube top. And you're like, bitch, why are you in a tube top?
A tube top. I don't even want to imagine Reza in a tube top. So Mike goes, we're a house divided. And then all of a sudden we hear Reza go, stop. Wait a minute. There were more things that kept us together than there were things that kept us apart. Like the fun it was at yelling at Maris, you've had 10 abortions. Wasn't that so fun? La, 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 la.
Yeah. There were more things together, me and my friends, than were apart. Like Maris, who I wouldn't shoot with and tried to make everyone else not shoot with for the rest of the season. And Reza is wearing a sequined shirt, which is one of the outfits I'm talking about. Like, congrats on losing weight. Don't torture me with this. You look like a tap, and I bring this up all the time, but this is totally a tap dance recital for a kid outfit, right?
It was like he raided the costume department at the Tina musical. I'm like, give Tina Turner her dress back, please.
So everybody, they don't want a fractured family anymore. So let's get back to getting along on Shaw's, it says. And they have a lot of really bright, fun things like this throughout the show. Like, hey, let's make this a storybook and remind people this is a fun show. So we'll see. The first episode was really fun, I thought.
I actually thought it was a really good episode. I thought it was hilarious, and I feel like the show kind of got back to highlighting the ridiculous stuff. I was really happy with that first episode. I really was. So we start with Gigi's condo, and I like to call this scene and really Gigi's storyline a coming up this season on Vanderpump Rules. Okay, it's bombshell revelations from someone who's had the first baby in all of mankind. So she's with her baby. I can't believe this thing came out of me. What? That was, no one's ever said that. So Gigi is there. She's with her baby. Her mom is like sitting on the floor, just like wrapped up in her phone. And there's this big stuffed giraffe. And Gigi's telling us, having a baby, it's a trip. My baby journey the past 2 years has been really difficult. So then we see flashbacks of actually what was a very difficult and traumatic journey for her. But in the end, she did have the baby. And she tells us, you know what? It's not about me anymore.
You're
also
right.
Going to be something that will be said 10 million times by Sheena and Lala on Vanderpump Rules. Oh, and by the way, James and Raquel got engaged. So there's that.
Oh, yeah. They were calling it Rachella because they got engaged at Coachella, which of course they did.
Like they went to Coachella, the actual physical place?
Well, is Coachella even on? Maybe they just made something called Rachella. Wait, is Coachella a thing this year, you guys? It just hit me.
I'm looking it up.
I got to look up Coachella. Canceled. 2021 Coachella canceled. So I guess they just made their own Coachella engagement party or whatever, which is cute. And also less smelly. So that's good. So then we get Gigi saying, you know, she's so blessed and, you know, it's also so bizarre knowing a little human being came out of me, you know, like he's calm, he's chill, he's relaxed. I mean, he only came out holding one knife, you know, it kind of hurt, but mostly got my sister in the eye. So that was good.
Yeah. So she says that since now that she has a baby, she's had to make a lot of changes. So we start seeing like before and after in her apartment. So we see this like psycho doll. It's basically like the Dorinda's Bethany Frankel Halloween thing with a knife. It goes before, and then after is the plush giraffe.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit of a change.
She tells us that her love of collecting knives had to come to an end. She's like, I miss my knives. And, you know, now her life is very different. Now, instead of just living in an apartment that her parents are paying for while her mom cleans and cooks and does everything, now she's living in an apartment that her parents pay for where her mom cooks and cleans everything and also takes care of the baby. So it's a huge difference.
The baby also has a faux hawk. So that's how you really know that we're in Los Angeles. So then we now go over to Reza and Adam's house. And Adam has grown like a mountain man beard. It's a little bit too much for me personally. Because I'm just imagining all the like Triscuits that are kind of like caught in there, like in the depth, right?
Yeah, although actually, he doesn't really pull off the whole bear thing. He looks like a tube of toothpaste with a beard on him.
Yeah, it looks very much like the beard you put on a kid when they're on a school in a school musical yes. in sixth grade.
Yes, you're gonna play the bank robber today. You're gonna rob the train today in this old Western. You know, that's what he looks like.
So Adam's making some sort of pie, like a berry pie, and Reza's helping him. And Adam says that this is his mom's famous Southern recipe. And Reza's like, "But your mom's from Ohio." And he goes, "Oh, I thought Ohio was part of the South."
Yeah, like, Ohio's the South, Reza.
Why does Adam annoy me so much? Like, even his inability to process that Ohio is like literally borders one of the Great Lakes.
He's just so floppy, you know? Here's my note on Adam. Adam is so gross. That was the note I took. So I'm with you.
Ohio is like nearly adjacent to Canada. How is that part of the South? How?
We've spent a year doing the house. We were doing softscaping, hardscaping, landscaping, scapescaping. And Adam's like, this is very white. I hope that's okay. I'm like, oh, shocker. Adam's making the whitest pie in the world.
I know, really. So... and since it's like red pie dish, I'm surprised he wasn't like, "This pie dish is to remind you of the blood that was drawn when Gigi scratched my neck."
Yeah, that hurt. I love Pandemic Adam. We're planting, we're dieting, and I'm self-reflecting. I'm pandemic thriving, bitch.
And then the pie comes out of the oven and Adam goes, "Makes me wish I wasn't vegan." And I got like mad at that. I don't know why. I totally support veganism and people who are vegans, but I was like, at this point I didn't realize what the pie was for. So I was like, why, if you're vegan, why are you making a non-vegan pie and then getting mad about
they
it?
Have like, they have vegan butter, stupid. Yeah. So but Reza turns takes out, yeah, Reza yeah. is taking the pie through the sprinklers and knocking on a door. It must be really fun to live in Reza's neighborhood. It's like pounding. Welcome to the neighborhood, bitch!
I know. And you already just know it's destiny. You don't, you like, as he's walking across the street to a door, like, you know it's not going to be Mike. You know it's not, you just know it's going to be Destiny. Because, of course, Destiny is going to, you know, follow them to Atwater Village or wherever they are. So she's like, a bitch moved in next door to Reza. I was like, okay, burn down this street, please. Can you just like light a match?
The street is done for.
Where is the forest fire?
Destiny, I think for the first year ever. Well, it was last year her second or third year. It was her third year, right?
Her third year. I don't know.
Well, she got tons of hate last year. And yeah. You can tell because she comes back with that. Are we having fun? We're having so much fun. I'm such a good person. Like, she's trying so hard to remind us that she's the good guy here. And she's got like a new face that just doesn't look right yet because it's just so nervous about everybody being mean to her.
I liked her new face, actually. I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was very good. But she did look nervous. She did. And she tells us, I'm like a high-rise type of chick. You know, I love the security there. But then, you know, I got a lot of wigs and thigh-high boots, and I don't have a lot of space. Which also, that kind of annoyed me because I don't know why. I think I was just like, already. I was annoyed because she had a dog named Frank Sinatra, and that felt very affected to me. Like, oh my God, I love Vegas. So I'm going to name my dog Frank Sinatra because that's hilarious. And I was like, I don't like it. It's not funny to me.
Destiny is one of those people who uses her wigs as a personality. It's like, oh, she, you know, like Rena does that and it gets on my nerves too. Like Rena discovered wigs and now she's like, this one's name, her name is Priscilla. And it's like, get a personality, you know? So Reza comes in and he's like, cut me some pie, bitch. And he's wacky and fun, lighthearted too this season. So he puts on her Chiquita banana headpiece thing.
Mm-hmm. And they go to the backyard, which looks great. And he basically begged Destiny to take the house. And that's why she lives across the street. So now he's talking about how he's really, healed and let go of things in lockdown, and he hasn't talked to MJ in so long. He really misses her now. And, you know, and then we're reminded that they FaceTimed like 6 months ago at the end of last season about, you know, moving forward, resolving things. But it just, you know, it just kind of fizzled out. And he says, you know, I've dreamt of the day that I would see her son. And like, it's crazy to me that you've seen the baby and I haven't seen the baby. And he like says it as if, oh, it's crazy that I had to be relocated for work to Shanghai, and so I haven't been able to see the baby. No, it's crazy because you screamed at the kids. You actually didn't go to help her in the hospital, and you screamed at her about abortions at a party in front of everyone. Don't act like forces in the world kept you two apart.
Well, and we also find out later in the episode that he's actually extended his do not disturb order. What do you call it?
Restraining order on Tommy.
The restraining order, yeah.
It's crazy that I haven't seen him. Well, you have a restraining order on the father.
Yeah, but he's such a victim. You know, this is Reza. Like, I have dreamt of the day I would see her son at least 5 miles away from the father.
Yes. And Destiny's like, you know, every time that, like, Maris and I spoke, she would say rude stuff. But we also had a lot of good times. Love me again, audience. Love me.
Yeah, these two are just thinking everybody has forgotten what monsters they were last year. Like, I mean, she was always just so mean to me, but, you know, I support it. And he's like, you know what? Let me see. Pull up her Facebook page so I can see her son. And she's like, okay, but do not like anything, Reza. Do not like anything because it'll show my name. And so he's looking through pictures and pretending he's all touched about it. Like, he doesn't have a phone with a Facebook on it, okay?
Right.
Or a phone to text somebody or call them, right?
Or like a Finsta,
So he goes, real friends inspire you and force you to be the best version of yourself. Then get some, please.
Yeah. Because I think that was a meme. Like, MJ posted it, like, some generic meme about, like... And so he reads that, and he's like... And Destiny goes, it's a sign. I'm like, it was like, the most generic meme. It's not a sign. Like, you will find that on the internet. It's what happens. And he goes, you know what? I said very disgusting things, and I wish I could take them back. And if MJ and I can come together, what I can do is apologize for them and rebuild something with MJ, because that's who I am. I am a thoughtful person who eats very white pies in lockdown. I've grown.
So then we go over to MJ's, and Shams is adorable. Cute little baby. And she gets a text from Reza.
Hey, stranger, would you be up for getting drinks, bitch?
And then MJ reads and goes, what the fuck? So then we go over to Mike, and he's now in an apartment in Hollywood. He's actually in an apartment behind the Pandagius Theater, which is funny to me. It's really all tying back to Into the Woods. And he is on the phone. He goes, hello, where are you, my love? Are you coming up? And so you think it's going to be Paulina. But it's Nima at the door. He's calling Nima his love. It's funny.
It is hilarious. I mean, they could be gay. Wouldn't that be hilarious? So Mike's like, oh my God, I wish I was single living here. My God, you should see this place. There's some hotties down by the pool. It's nuts. And then he explains to us, you know, me and Paulina aren't living together because, you know, she's still in the process of her divorce, which I didn't mind while I started dating her.
Yeah.
And spending time with her children and all that. But, you know, in the meantime, I rented a place in Hollywood. So Nima comes over and he's
like,
by
the way, this is his 10th house, I feel like, in 3 seasons. This guy is so shady with his money, moving from place to place to place to place. We better get an update on that construction site that he was working on last season, because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, why don't they ever mention that? And what happened to his house that he built or that he did the whole remodel for with Reza and all that? I need more information.
Yeah, something's up. So, like you said, Nima comes over, and which is about as exciting as can be. And
yeah, he's like, Mike's like, oh, wow, you know, there's these girls by the pool, and they are so gorgeous, bro. And Nima's like, bro, I've got to leave room for the Holy Spirit in between you, bro. It's like, that doesn't even make sense. It's like a Catholic dance. What are you talking about? And so Mike's like, well, you know, me and Paulina, we've been together for 3 years. And he's like, yeah, so you're floating between places? Oh, yeah, well, you know, she lives by her ex-husband and the whole family lives there. And so I don't feel comfortable there, bro. You know, so I came to the middle of Hollywood. with a pool with girls with bikinis all over it. You know, just to ensure our relation stays in a good place.
Yeah, bro, I don't feel comfortable being around, like, a cousin of her ex who lives nearby. I'm much more comfortable here around bikinis on a TV show where all this shit gets aired to the entire country. That's, like, way more comfortable for me.
Truly. You know a man is not serious about you when he's like, you know what? I think I just need to move with a view of Capitol Records and a gigantic pool where a bunch of Hollywood douchebags live. Okay.
Yeah. And Nima's like, so does Paulina mind? Does her brand, is her brand affected by the fact that there's all these pool parties? He goes, no, 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 no. She knows I'm not interested in that. Like, and besides, she has, like, spyware on my phone. That's to set up my excuse later on about how I was hacked, because probably some thirdware software was put on my phone by Paulina. Oh, so it's really her fault.
Good point. So Nima, you know, I really feel for Mike. I mean, just because you hang up the jersey doesn't mean the athlete's not still in the game, right? keep a little space between us for the Holy Spirit, bro.
This is the first time I've ever heard associated Mike with athleticism, but, you know, fine. So they go downstairs to the pool, and then Mike is swimming, and he goes, I'm on the Hollywood diet, which I could be wrong. I'm the more innocent one here. Isn't the Hollywood diet like cocaine?
Yeah, cocaine and what's that, like, fake, like, lemonade that everybody, Crystal Light, like a cocaine and Crystal, yeah. Light.
So when he's like, yeah, I'm on the Hollywood diet, I'm like, you just said you do cocaine.
Okay, Little Mermaid, come back here. Whoa, dude, you have massive pecs, bro. I mean, you've got, like, giant nipples. I've got little dime nipples, bro. You have amazing pecs.
I didn't know what was happening here. Also, what was funny is he was saying you have massive pecs, but he wasn't. What was funny is that Mike is like, thanks, bro. But if you think about it, Nima might not have been complimenting him. So Mike is like, my nipples aren't that big, huh? So Nima says he had to close down his casting company because of lockdown and everything. So we see a little flashback of him with his accountant being like, you have to close it. And then Mike says, well, you know what, Nima? Just like my marriage set me up to find Paulina, who is my true love. Hey, girl in bikini, I just want to let you know, I'm not looking at your rack right now because I found my true love, Paulina. And guess what? This, your casting company closing down, that sets you up so your next business venture is something that you're passionate about. As passionate as I am about Paulina. It's like, so I'm going to start a company that I'm going to cheat on, or I don't.
Yeah. He's like, shing, right when he says that. And he's like eyeing some girl taking off her top.
Yeah,
Mike. So then we go over to Tommy and MJ. I'm writing my daily letter to Shams. Dear Shams, it's your fucking father, all right? You know what? Try shitting on yourself next time, huh? Because you shit on me, little fucker, all right?
Hey, hit a pot over your head. Hey, that was me. It's like I'm in the room with you, huh?
So they now live in suburban bliss. They're out of the hills. They're in a suburban home. And MJ says, you know, I always said when I get married and have children, I'm moving to Calabasas, which, like, I love that that's the pot at the end of the rainbow is Calabasas.
Well, it's where the Kardashians live. It's like Kardashian-branded suburbia.
Yeah.
And now they're in a four-bedroom, four-bath, and she's turned into a suburb snob, okay? And don't worry, Tommy's been working on himself the past year, and you see Tommy just still writing letters.
The first time I met your mom, I came out of the Uber with a big old boner. That's right. I can't wait till you're old enough that I can take you to the Mets, and you can meet Mr. Met himself, and we can meet people like Mookie Wilson and Lenny Dykstra. Yeah, baby!
So now MJ tells us she's been working on shedding the anger towards Reza, but Reza did press charges, and now he's extending the restraining order on Tommy for 3 more years. And she's like, to me, that feels like he got fucked. Now, yes, but Tommy did do that stuff, so I guess that's within Reza's rights.
Yes. But this is but don't talk about healing. Problem. Don't talk about healing, and like time heals all, but then you're still going to extend the restraining order.
And that my biggest issue with that last year was, you know, that Reza was right. And I hate saying Reza's right. That's like one of my least favorite things to say. So I hope Tommy's been working on himself is my point.
Yeah. So MJ wants to have Mike over and stuff. And she goes, you know, I really want to have Mike and Jessica over. Oh, shit. Mike and Paulina. And Tommy just goes, ha!
All right, I'll be nice, but let's not forget, Mike didn't come to a sip and see over nonsense, all right?
And then we see the clip of MJ talking to Paulina on that vacation and saying, you know what, I'm so glad I have a nice white boy, you know, because you're like in a pretty controlling situation.
Right. And Tommy's like, anybody who's rude to my little guy, oh, I have a problem with. Referring to Shane.
So then MJ, let's see, ding ding. Oh, so Tommy's phone dings and he's like,
all right, hold on. All right, I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for tissues by the bed in case I gotta come in the middle of the night. I'm grateful for toy at the dog. I'm grateful for water. I don't really know what else. All right, time's up.
Yeah. Grateful for walls, ceilings, drywall. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. I like it all.
And MJ tells us that he has an alarm set 6 times a day for affirmations.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for your caboose, baby.
And I just love it because then the rest of the episode, he'll just stop and speed through some. It'll be, you know, just be sitting there. And then, you know, all of a sudden we hear it. We hear the thing go off. And he's like, oh, hold on. Grateful MJ, grateful for Shams, grateful for Drapes, grateful for Sky, grateful for Bluebirds, grateful for jerking off, and grateful for the Mets.
Yeah. So she goes, you know, I mean, what I was saying about Reza, you know, it's just like there's a divide. And he goes,
that's not a divide, bro. It's a moral compass, all right?
And she's like, listen, I'm just saying that what he did will never be undone, but I'm a new mom.
Oh, you know what? It gets my blood boiling. If you want to talk about those 3 pieces of shit, you're going to hear from me. That's a piece of shit, all right?
She goes, yeah, but he just wants to meet for drinks.
Reza's a piece of shit. Golnessa's a sewer rat. And Destiny looks like the Count from Sesame Street, all right? Count how many times this chick lies. One, one, one. Two, two, two. 3,000 lies.
All right, hold on. I'm grateful for the Count, grateful for Sesame Street, grateful for Big Bird, not so grateful for Snuffleupagus. I'll say it. I don't like him. I don't trust him. Can't see him, but I like him.
So she's like, why don't you just go take a walk? Because you seem very angry.
He's like, why don't you got my back? You're my wife.
And she's like, okay, let me say this again. I'll never lose sight for a second of who is my husband.
I always need you by my side.
Okay. You're my husband. You come first. I need you to have an open mind.
Hello, my husband.
Okay. Okay. Tommy, it's okay.
Ding. I'm grateful for butt cheeks because otherwise your asshole is just touching a chair. All right.
So now Gigi's meeting up in the park with her sister Layla, which is shocking as for people who have. You know, paid any attention. I won't say for people who've cared about the storyline, because I don't think anyone has ever cared about the state of Gigi and Layla. But for people who at least are aware of it, they'll know that this is a big deal. So that they seem to be friendly. And Gigi has a Rottweiler named Zsa Zsa who wears a Louis Vuitton hanky. And now Gigi's like, this is my new real. Sperm donor, a Rottweiler, 2 cats and a baby. That's my family. I'm like, I'm so glad I don't follow her on Instagram. I just feel like it's just like memes and like pictures of her baby next to jelly beans. 5 months and 3 days. I'm like, oh gosh.
I just fucking Gigi. It's like you find out you're going to have a baby. The first thing anybody does, gets a Rottweiler. I mean, what else do? You get the most giant dog you can find.
Don't worry. She did research. And we know that Gigi is really good at things like research and following things through.
Yeah. So Layla talks about how she delivered the baby because it's COVID time. So the parents are elderly and they couldn't go to the hospital. And Layla somehow ended up pulling out the baby. And so she knows the cobwebs that Gigi has on her, you know, private parts or whatever, because she was actually there.
Yeah, I almost got the sense that it sounds like things started to thaw when Layla showed up to Gigi's medical emergency when she lost her first pregnancy. And it sounded like things started to thaw, and it almost sounded like Gigi asked Layla to come live with her because she didn't want to be alone and pregnant or something like that. So I don't know. I was like, did Layla deliver the baby in the living room or something? Like, what happened? But either way, they're like friends and sisters again. So then we go over to MJ driving to meet up with Reza, and she's speaking to her mom, Vida. And Vida's like, you have to listen to his side, and he has to listen to your side, and you have to acknowledge your mistakes, which mainly are about being terrible daughter. Terrible daughter.
You need to acknowledge your mistakes, like your makeup. It's very bad. It's very bad, Mercedes. Very, very bad, Mercedes.
You never learned ping pong. Big disappointment. Zero mistakes. Please acknowledge.
And Reza is in his new car, this teeny tiny little Porsche, because he's lost weight. So even his car is smaller.
He has to scale.
You know, like, we get it. We get it.
It's like, Reza, you have to get a bigger car to really accentuate how much smaller you are now. You don't scale it. You don't see a difference if you scale it down.
He's in a tube top and a tiny Porsche. And so we can now announce that the next restaurant to close in Hollywood, Wood and Water.
Wood and water. Not a good combination in life, by the way. You don't want to do that with your wood and have it in the water.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
They go to a restaurant, this restaurant in the valley, and it's empty in there. And I thought to myself, you know, this show actually really translates to quarantine shooting very well, because they already shot in empty restaurants. So the show, most of the show's run looks like it took place during a quarantine. So this is adapted pretty well. So they get there at this, and I kind of was like, I felt bad for this restaurant, because they were like, ooh, a TV show is shooting here. Let's turn on the fire pit. I'm like, it's clearly like 2 p.m. The sun is blazing down on them, and they put on a fire pit next to them while they're sitting there. I don't know why. It just kind of bugged me.
And you don't want to do that around Reza, because we know how Reza is around a fire pit in a restaurant, okay? That's where that Ali Ashuri shit took place last season, remember? He almost threw him into that fire. So it's really awkward, and Reza's being fake. He's like, so nice to see your fake smile! And she's like, mm-hmm. And she's squealing her chair around, trying to get comfortable. Like, And then they have a stare-off. And she's like, and he goes, what happened? What happened, Maris? Like, we're going in a positive direction, and then it stopped. And maybe it's you asking for space and me acknowledging a request that was nonverbal.
Oh, okay. You know? So you didn't just call her. You were just being super sensitive and acknowledging her request nonverbally.
Well, I got a sense that you needed some space, so what I did was I extended the restraining order to ensure that we would always have space. That's all. Just being a good friend.
And she's like, listen, I have no anger. I can say it bothered me what you did last year, but I'm not going to, like, open the wound, put salt on it, pour lemon on it. And he's like, well,
season it with parsley.
Yeah. I have regret and sadness, and that is all I'd like to say.
And then we see a flashback of Vida at the reunion saying, you know, everything is good when it's new, except friend. Friend is good when it's old, which was lovely. And so then Reza says, if there's anything good that comes out of COVID other than my pool, it's that there's a big shift in how I want to move forward with you. Like, I want to move forward a little faster because I'm lighter now. Bitch lost 40 pounds. Yes.
Bitch be speed walking towards a new relationship.
MJ is like, okay, cool. Well, let's do a birthday dinner for Mike in Palm Springs. And Reza, they obviously also have a mandate to set up this trip. You know, like, this is clearly the producers were like, please put forth this idea that you're going to go on a trip. So Reza really is like so blatant about it. He goes, would it be crazy to get the whole group together? And MJ's like, well, it's going to be awkward, but I want to do it. In hopes of bringing the group back together? Is that what we're doing? Are we having a birthday party so that way our group, that is a house divided, can come together? Is that the storyline that we are going to have?
Yep, pretty much. So then we go to Reza and Adam, and we see...
Wait, I want to say one thing before that. Reza goes, well, everyone will come together for Mike because everyone likes Mike. I was like, uh-oh, Mike's in trouble. Mike's in trouble. That means if Reza's saying how much he likes someone, that means he's about to go destroy them.
Oh, yeah, because last year was all about how much they hate. Every year is about the person they hate that year, right? So MJ was the one that they hated last year, and Mike was the one who was refusing to go with it and stop inviting MJ. And so yeah. Reza's going to get his ass back. And also, Mike was behind bringing up the technically it was Destiny, but Mike pushed Destiny into bringing up all the stuff about Adam on TV. So
yeah,
this is the big revenge season for
you're Mike right
versus yep. Reza. So we go to Reza and Adam's house, and this show's so funny because they're showing food because it's Shasha. So anytime somebody comes over, there's a ton of food. There's literally chips and salsa and guac, and they're playing Persian music. Like, look at this Persian. Look at the Persian spread.
Yes, that's so funny. Like, welcome to this authentic Persian experience. Chips and guac.
So Gigi comes over in this like see-through Ramona Singer bathing suit Teresa outfit thing.
Yeah, fishnetty, yeah. Black fishnetty sort of thing.
Yeah, crochet. And he's like, can you believe Destiny? The bitch lives across the street. And ding dong, it's Destiny in the same outfit as Gigi.
You guys are dressed alike, dressed alike, dressed alike, dressed alike, dressed alike. I was like, oh my God, please throw him into the pool quickly. Adam, get your pie, put it in his face.
And Destiny's like, oh my God, we're so Three's Company. A fly keeps coming around Destiny, and so he has one of those tennis racket fly zapper yeah. things, and so she's chasing a fly around this whole time.
Which I found to be surprisingly compelling content.
Me too. I love those fly zappers.
I was like, should I get one? Because I have like a bug zapper, but it's just like one of those like lantern type things, which I love. But I'm like, ooh, I do love the agency that a racket would give me. Although I do believe I would also zap my own self with it. I'm like, I would pick it up on the wrong side. Like, ow!
I would zap myself. I just imagine my nieces chasing me around with it and like zapping me on the ass with it. Like, I can't. So Reza tells them that he
dressed
met up
alike,
with...
Dressed alike! Dressed alike! Dressed alike! Oh, sorry.
So Reza is telling them that he met up with MJ and it was surprisingly pleasant and they don't have to become best friends again. But I don't like being in a dark, negative place. I said, I miss you. And she did too. I mean, we had this crazy idea. Wait for it. We could have Mike... We could throw a birthday party for Mike and all go to Palm Springs together.
It would bring the whole group together because we all like Mike. So if anything would get ruined in Mike's life, we know it's because of something that he did and nothing that we did because we all agreed that we like Mike.
Yeah. And then he's like, we've had so much fun in Palm Springs. Remember all the good times. And then we get clips of them. In Palm Springs, a clip of Gigi throwing a plate at Mike, and then of Mike going, you wanna pull out ammunition? I'll pull out an Uzi.
Yeah, we see him. The reason why she throws the glass is because he goes, she's being a gremlin. We have so much fun. She's a gremlin. So then they're like, but Paulina will have to be there. And then we find out. Paulina sent them Mike's text the other night, and Paulina, I guess they're like, Paulina sent screenshots of texts the night before, and then the question is like, what kind of chick has an issue, and then goes and calls all his closest friends? I'm like, Reza would do that, actually. Not only would Reza do that, he would encourage others to do the same.
Yeah. Also, Jessica. That's who. Like, yeah. Why are we surprised that any of this is coming from Mike's camp? Especially when Reza had the storyline of getting all that stuff out of Jessica and then using it against Mike, right?
Yeah. So now we hear the whole story.
Yeah. Destiny's like, I'll tell you who. A woman who scorned and hurt. Now, let me tell you what happened last night, America. And so they start reading these texts. Reza's like, out of the blue, Paulina texts me screen grab after screen grab after screen grab after. I said, can you make these smaller? I'm thin now.
He's like, I wish they still sold razor phones because bitches razor thin.
And so how perfect was this? How perfect. Destiny goes, let me tell you how many she sent us. One, two,
three, four.
I didn't even realize that.
Right after Tommy said that she has the face of the count from...
Sorry, I just talked over you.
Right after he said that she has the face of the count from Sesame Street. So good.
So I guess Paulina texted them something like, once a cheater, always a cheater. It was really nice getting to know you all, but I'm done. And
Gigi said
to those texts, girl, bye. I ain't got time for y'all's games. Now let me get back to this pie.
Because Gigi was eating a pie when she got the text.
Big pie theme this episode. And Reza's like, Mike, why is it that you why do you behave and then that way and then your shit winds up on my side of the street? Reza, don't think that for one moment you were not. We all know you were texting Paulina like, you should, you know, if Mike fucks up, you should tell us because we will be there for you. Tell us the moment he fucks up. You know, he invites all that shit on his side of the street.
Yeah, totally.
So Gigi continues reading. She goes, she said to me, I don't play games. Now, that's where I got a little upset. I said, you also don't talk to me like this. And that's why I know it's bullshit. God damn it. Now stop bothering me while I'm eating pie.
And she was also, yes. She was also had put the baby down, so she was clearly it was pie time, and you do not mess with Gigi during pie time. So now 3 hours later, we're at MJ's house, and MJ's making some sort of potatoes gratin, and Tommy is reading. At first, I thought he was reading some affirmations, but it turns out he was just reading a book called "The Greatest Salesman in the World" to Shams. Like,
here's what you gotta do: always be closing, always be closing, always be closing.
This is life-changing stuff, man. Come on. So Mike and Paulina come over, and they're whispering because of the baby. So they go outside to talk, and Mike is visibly uncomfortable, but trying not to be. He's like, wow, great backyard, man. Wow, whoa. And she's like, honey, could you move down away? Oh, wait, your feet are going to get stuck there. I'll move down into that part of the couch. And Mike's like, isn't that a good wife? She's going to get her feet stuck so you don't have to get your feet stuck. Did you hear that, Paulina? Maybe take Paulina, a look at this.
Yeah, Paulina, look at my feet and look at your feet. Who's got the stuck feet now? Huh? So then Tommy's like,
well, I got a new story. Mike get pissed in my face this week. How about that? That's what my life is. Literally almost drank. Oh, wait, hold on. Ding. I'm thankful for my kid's piss. I'm thankful for my lips that close my lip. That's to keep the piss out of my mouth. I'm thankful for the little gap in my lips that opens up so I get air in. And I guess I'm thankful for the piss that actually got in that way. I guess I tasted the piss and I was sort of thankful for that too. I'm thankful.
And Mike, meanwhile, is doing that thing that all fucking cheaters do when they're with their spouse in public or their person in public. They're just rubbing them all over and like rubbing her head and rubbing her thigh. Like, look how much I love her and I'm not cheating on her. Look how much I'm not emotionally abusing her right now.
Yeah.
Look, I have a story. So I started getting these random text messages, bros. It was crazy. Okay? So they're so random. Like, I don't know who they're coming from, you know? And then it turns out my iCloud disappeared. And I got hacked. And this person who hacked my iCloud, and Tommy's like, hold on. Ding! I'm grateful for toilet paper because otherwise I'd be getting shit all over my hand. I'm grateful for the trash cans so there's somewhere for me to throw away the goddamn cheese that fell on my shirt from the goddamn pizza. And did I say toilet paper? I'm still grateful for toilet paper.
I'm grateful for Dallas Strawberry. Led us through some of the greatest years we ever had with the Mets. What else?
Huh? Also, I'm grateful to my wife, my son, and I'm grateful for this one here, Jessica.
And then, ding, a sign comes up that says, not Jessica, above.
Yes.
Not head.
So Mike's like, so this person who, you know, made my iCloud disappear somehow and then hacked into my account. So this person starts text sending messages back and forth with this girl. And then, look, then he sends photographs, and then he sends it to Paulina. Like, and then next thing I know, boom, explosion. And then she drinks. So she's the real problem here. And then she talks to Reza and Gigi. And like, it's crazy. I'm like, this in the many seasons of Shaw's The Sunset, this has to be Mike's very worst lie. Like, so you're telling me, so hackers, what they care about, some sort of pipeline that supplies gas to half the country, And also the ladies in Mike's DMs. Yeah.
Trying to make Mike look bad with some Instagram thought. That's what they're worried about, Mike, okay? And also he's trying to push this narrative hard that Pauline is an alcoholic. Because he's like, oh, you know, next thing I know, well, you know, she drinks a bit. And then she talks to Resident Destiny about it because she was drunk. You know, and that's what she does. And MJ's like, wait, why would she send it to them? And Pauline is like, well, I sent them the screenshots. And then we cut back to Destiny and Gigi and Reza still together. And Destiny's like, the reality is that Mike is good at pointing fingers and changing partners, so then he doesn't have to answer to the different partners about his partners.
And then she just destroys a bug. It's like, pfft. Everyone's like, whoa. So then, and then Gigi's like, she's like, well, you know, I don't really see what Mike did as cheating because there's like no emotion attached, you know? So I don't think it's something that Paulina should take personally. I'm like, yeah, Gigi, we'll just, next time you're with a guy who cheats on you, we'll see if that logic tracks. Okay. I'm sure, what was his name? What was her boyfriend's or her husband's name again?
Shalom, I don't remember. Yeah. Oh, Shalom. Yeah. Shalom. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure if Shalom ever did that, you would have been totally chill about it.
Yeah. His balls would have been around her neck. She's fucking crazy. So then we go back and Mike's like, you know, from what I saw of these text messages, they were very graphic in nature. And MJ goes, so did you say anything? What? Me? In the messages back, did you say anything? He's like, I never texted her. What? What? That's crazy.
It's like, it is Mike. Such, it's like, he's just out of lies at this point. He just has to come up with this cockamamie thing about it.
Yes. I mean, proof that practice does not make you better is Mike.
Yeah.
Right. So then we go to Shaw's Community Theater. It's like a big gold curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And 50 Shades of Shued, the curtain rises, and Reza's in his terrible glitter shirt. And he's like, so are you in? I don't know. I started writing lines
Reza,
really fast.
I wrote it all down, actually, of course. So Reza is playing.
Oh, they're reading the texts.
Yeah, he is playing the role of DM side chick, and Destiny will be Mike. So you're an ass or a boob guy?
Both my fave. Fuck the ass and grab the boobs.
But what's your preference?
Boobs, what's your preference? Long or thick cock?
And then also, then she's, and then do you like anal? Then Destiny also says, do you like, well, Mike says, do you like anal? Well, I've done anal, of course.
Like it or love it?
Yavosh. Which means slow down.
Then he sends this photo to her, and it's him flexing his pepino, trying to suck his stomach in.
It's like a 10-year-old black and white photo.
Please, before it's soft, you are God's gift. Send me something of you before it's soft.
Wow, I'm really glad those hackers, while they were having this conversation, and first of all, great that they also could speak in, you know, Farsi. Is it Farsi? I forget. But either way, I love that they also know, they just know how to access some 10-year-old nude photo of Mike. Yeah, like, they just seem to...
Yeah, they went really far back in the iCloud for this.
And it was
cool
that they never asked for money. You know, normally hackers ask for money, but it was cool that these guys just really wanted to see what it was like to live the life of a baby shoe mogul.
Yeah. So then Tommy's like, why won't you just change your number? And Mike's like, oh, I can't change my number, man, because, you know, for 25 years I've had this number. It's my business. And, you know, like, and Tommy goes, I changed my number and it changed my life.
Also, did Mike contact authorities or do anything? That's what I want to know. For all this talk about the hackers, there's no talk about, oh, so then I went and I had to, like, call these people and I had to call Google or, like, I had to call Apple. He doesn't have any story about what he did to eradicate the hackers or that he took any steps to prevent it. He's just like, oh, they're hackers. Hackers who think I'm really hot and then sent my photo to girls, you know.
So Mike's like, listen, I've had this since I was 21 in Vegas. And Paulina goes, why do you need your contacts from Vegas, though? And he's like, because I make money. Why are you talking like that? She's like, I mean, just save the ones that you make money off of.
So MJ and Tommy are basically staring at Mike like, you are an idiot. This is ridiculous. So MJ is like, well, I feel buzzed. And Paulina was like, well, I want to feel buzz. I want to get buzzed and feel good. And so Mike's like, well, what's wrong? Am I saying anything wrong? Am I saying anything wrong? Yes, you're lying, Mike. You're cheating and lying.
Yes. Oh, my God. So Paulina and MJ go in to the kitchen. And MJ's like, so you're pissed because you feel like you got played, right? And she's like, yeah, you know, like, and Gigi, you know what Gigi told me? She just said, like, sorry, but that's who he is, okay? And then she texted me to let her enjoy her pie.
And MJ's like, well, listen, you have this guy by the balls right now. And Paulina's like, but, you know, like, I don't want to have him by the balls. I'm like, no, listen to MJ. She's right. You have him by the balls. You better take advantage.
And she's like, but I don't have him by the balls, and I've never had a guy by the balls. And this has happened a few times with him. And so then Tommy outside is like, whoa, I promise you, bro, I've woken up many nights with a knife to my throat.
I believe that.
Probably so literal.
I think he said he would have woken up with a knife. If he had done any of that or said this story, he would have had a knife to his throat. So then Paulina's like, well, you know, he loves attention. He dies for attention. And MJ says, she goes, well, you think it's an insecurity thing? As if she doesn't already know. Like, of course, she knows exactly. She's trying to get Paulina to, like, realize that Mike is like a piece of shit. I don't even know why Paulina's still in this.
Paulina, it's not easy to have respect for Paulina at this point. I mean, it was bad enough you were with Mike in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
And I get that you want to be on a TV show and all that. I get how fun that could be. But you're just looking like a goddamn idiot. And this is obviously a lie. And you know it's a lie. And it's happened a few times. Do you think this is just going to stop?
Yeah.
This is not going to stop.
And the producer asks MJ if she's surprised. And she just stares. Just stares for a long time. And then it cuts back to Paulina saying, you know, when you don't have trust, you have nothing at all. And so, and she says the reason why she moved into that apartment is because she needed space. I'm like, Paulina, why are you going down this path? Like, everything you're saying says break up with this guy. Like, I don't understand why she's still even in this scene.
Yeah, you know what's going to make a man cheat less? Having him move out of your place and into his own place in the middle of Hollywood. You're onto something here. You're onto something here. So she's like, you know, MJ says, you know, it must make you feel insecure and disrespected. And she's like, yeah, especially when the girls are fake head to toe. It makes me want to look fake head to toe. I'm like, well, maybe that's a Jessica explanation. How does Mike get all these people into this situation? He's not smart. He's not all that nice, really. And he's not that hot. I mean, what's happening?
The love bomb. He does the love bomb. And I think girls who are insecure or just like have daddy issues or something, it just plays right into it, right? So so MJ is basically like, well, we could cut off his balls if you want. And now Pauline is not even sure she wants to have kids with him anymore.
Wow. This is what it took.
I'm like, did you watch the first 7 seasons of the show?
Yeah, yeah. This is bad. So then Tommy comes in and he's like, MJ asks him if he's been a good host. He goes, probably not. I've just been out there yelling. And Pauline's like, yeah, I heard you. So basically Tommy's like, look, Tommy says there's not much else he can do. He's already given you transparency with the social stuff. She goes, no, he hasn't.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I tried. All right.
So MJ goes outside and sits with Mike, and she's saying that Paulina's all pissed. And that,
what?
You know,
what? About what? Why is she pissed? What? About what?
She's like, about these inappropriate communications. He goes, there's no inappropriate DMs. I get DMs. She's getting mad that I got DMs. I'm like, well, that's a different story also. You said that you were hacked, and the hacker was talking to someone, not like, oh, you get DMs, and she's mad that you get DMs. And
yeah, this isn't just you getting DMs. You're saying, like, I'm jerking off. Please send me a picture while it's still hard or whatever.
Yeah, and so then So then, MJ's really kind of like, you have to make her feel like 100, like you have to do this. And then Mike goes, oh my God, it's 10:30. Oh, I forgot. It's 10:30. A babysitter, We left a pot boiling on the stove. Oh, 10:30. We have to go. It's 10:30. Oh. And so he goes inside and he's like, Hey, Paulina, it's 10:30. She's like, what? It's 10:30. She's like, what? The kids have school tomorrow, right? Kids, school. Remember that we left pot on stove. The oven's on. We have to go home right away. 10:30.
Yeah, this guy's mad that it's all this is on camera. But he's the one who tried to bring it up on camera to try and make himself look all innocent in it. But no one's buying it, so he just wants to get the hell out of here. Like, sorry, sir, but you don't get to do that after the last season. Even though the previous season was also spent on the same storyline for Mike. But stop fucking around, Mike. Okay?
Yeah.
Stop.
But MJ's, so, like, insistent that he eats. So she's like... She like whips up a steak in a pan and then she's like, let me cut you a piece. And she has her chef's knife in the pan, like slicing off a piece of steak. I was losing my mind. Did you think of me? Did you know I was losing my mind when you saw that?
Yeah, I mean, I figured. So she's and it's so it's 10:30 and she still hasn't cooked the food at all. She's like just throwing a steak in the pan. And so Mike's like, come on, let's do tequila shots. So they do. And Mike goes, you know what? This is the best dinner party I've been to all year. He's like, fuck you, man. It's like COVID time. Come on.
I'm very happy that nobody got trichinosis because she cooked to me for 30 seconds.
So then it's Mike's birthday. So they bought him a little tiramisu thing. And and he goes, hey, can we text the girls Mike was texting and see if she'll jump out of the cake? Huh? It was a tiramisu joke. What's the problem? Come on.
He's like,
Paulina's 10:30. It's 10:30. We got to go. Come on.
So then Mike and Paulina get into their Uber. And Paulina, of course, is pissed. And she's like, you know, you think it's easy sitting in that position all night? And Mike goes, you know what? I cannot stop people from messaging me. That's on me, okay? I cannot stop hackers, okay? Listen, this is the world. It's a very important Twitter, okay, that will get hacked over and over again. I can't stop hackers.
And she's like, oh, my God. He goes, you're drunk. You're drunk. No, I'm not drunk. You're drunk, and you're erratic, and you're acting crazy. Drunk. She's like, fuck you. He goes, oh, my God. She's completely drunk. Holy shit, dude. Look how drunk she is.
I know. This is full-on gaslighting. He's like, she's like, shut the fuck up. Paulina, they're filming us. You can't be this wasted on camera. Paulina, come on, please.
Oh, my God. They're filming us, and she's so drunk on Shaws of Sunset. Oh, my God. She needs help. Who is ever drunk on Shaws of Sunset? Come on, Paulina.
Does anyone have a bag she can throw up in? She's, oh, God, look. Oh, God, blood poisoning. You can see it in her eyes.
Wow. Really? Just he's just such a shit human being.
And he's just so predictable. Like, it's just, it's so predictable. I mean, it almost, it's hilarious, actually, because it's so predictable. I think Andy asked questions at the reunion, like, so is he going to cheat? I think everyone said yes. I could be wrong. I know we said yes. And here he is doing it. Just in such a blatant way with such a terrible excuse. I was literally cracking up. I was like, I cannot believe this.
Shaws, this is what Shaws does best, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Shaws is back, everybody. So we will be back tomorrow with some below deck sailing yacht. And, you know, we'll be back also with Morbid. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premieres this week. It's going to be a crazy busy week. And if you want our videos, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and sign up at the Crappens on Demand level. We do a couple videos a week. And also our bonus episodes, including now Top Chef. So find those, and otherwise we will talk to y'all tomorrow.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. In the Hizzy with Jay Hizzy.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
We're a fan of Michael Land. Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.